and we know the freedom that only He can bring. Psalm 144. I mentioned from the subtitle there that is just as inspired as the other works, that as the other words, that this is a psalm of David. What is the situation that David finds himself in here in these first few verses? You can tell very clearly. He is at war, isn't he? He's at war. Now, I want you to watch very closely. Let's walk through a couple of these first verses here. And I want you to notice how David relates to the Lord. And I want you to notice exactly who the Lord is to David. He says, "Blessed be the Lord." Why? Why does David so bless the Lord? Because the Lord is his rock. If you can imagine, David most likely wrote this as Saul, who was still king, and Saul's army was pursuing David and with the intent of taking David's life so that he could not become king. Where did David hide from Saul and his army? David hid in a rock, in a cave. Remember the instance where Saul came in, David had the opportunity to take his life. They were hiding in a rock. Was it the rock? Was it the cave that kept David safe? That's a good thought. That's close. No, it wasn't the rock. It was not the cave that protected David. In David's mind, why was he protected? Because God protected him. Had nothing to do with the cave or the rock. Look at this. "Who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Where did David learn what to do? David's just a pretty smart guy, right? I mean, some things just come naturally to people. David was an expert at war. He must have just been born like that, right? That's not what David would say. David would say that God taught him. And I want you to notice this, that it starts off, he says, "You train my hands for war." Now, if you go from hands to fingers, are you moving from more general to more specific? Yeah. Do you realize that David is saying that God actually taught him down to the very motions of his fingers? God, you taught me to do that. God, this is not, listen, we looked at the life of Jacob a couple of weeks ago. Remember Jacob? Jacob had everything figured out on his own. After it was all over with, he would say, "Oh yeah, God did that." But Jacob had his own plan. Jacob was working his own ideas. And God had to break him of that. That's not David. David says, "Oh, you don't understand. God is my rock. It's not that cave behind me. It's the Lord, and God teaches me. He is the one who has taught and trained down to the very motions of my fingers." Let's just stop right there. And I want to ask you, right there, is that the relationship that you have with the Lord? Where you could say, "You know what? Everything I do, man, God taught me to do that. Man, that God has taught me. God has instructed me and guided me. God is my rock, and He is the one who has taught my fingers, my hands to make war with my fingers." Let's keep going. David says, "My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge." How did David attribute for his safety, even though the king and the whole Israelite army was trying to kill him? Was it because he had some pretty good defensive measures? He found some pretty good places to hide. Why did David survive that? Yes. Thank you, Elisha. See, man, Centric kid. Because it was the Lord. And here is David, and the Holy Spirit is inspiring David to write this down. That, listen, this is not David's. This is not David's intellect. This is not David's skill. This is not David's ideas. This is not David's chance. This is the Lord protecting David and teaching David and guiding David. And David says, oh, I got to tell you about it. Listen, right here. It really doesn't matter what role that you find yourself in. If you are God's child, and the way that you become God's child is because you become, and adoption is obviously at the front of my mind this morning, you guys know that. But we are not naturally God's children. We do not have the privilege of relating to God as our God on our own. In fact, we are God's enemies naturally on our own. But because of Christ, and through faith in Christ, God adopts us as His own. And then as His child, let me ask you, if you have trusted Christ, if you're God's child, is this the relationship that you have with God? Where you would say, the Lord teaches everything I do. God has taught me. And you say, man, I can't get enough. And let me tell you, whatever it is that God has given me to do, I stand before you for the first time on Sunday morning. I'm the father of four children. God, you're going to have to teach me. God, I need you to teach from my hands to the very tips of my fingers. God, you are going to have to teach me. God, within Chad Brady is the ability to blow that whole thing up for it to be awful. But God, you're going to have to teach me. And so you know what? Man, I can't go a day because that's all it would take. Is that your relationship with the Lord? Where you can say with David, blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You've got several thousand kids coming to you for the rest of the summer. Where are you going to get the knowledge and the wisdom to respond to the kids that come? Moms and dads, where are you going to get what you need to train and raise our children? It had better be the Lord teaching our hands and our fingers. It had better be us, oh man, seeking the Lord's instruction. Because if we're not, if we're doing it kind of by the seat of our pants or whatever seems best to us, forget it. David says, this is the Lord. He has done this. And then look at verse 3 and 4. He doesn't understand why. He says, oh Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. God, why would you even take notice of my life at all? God, why would you care what happens in my life? God, what is it to you? The God of the universe, the God of the ages, what is my short 75 or 80 year life to you? Why do you even care, God? And you know what? Man, we don't have an answer for that. Why does God care? I don't know. But He does. Now watch what David does. Watch where the Holy Spirit leads David. David has acknowledged this whole thing is the Lord. The only reason I'm here is because God protected me and God taught me. Why God even takes notice of me, I don't know. But now verse 5, God, since you do, I don't know why you take notice, but God, since you do, now David turns in between verses 4 and 5. He goes from describing the Lord to now praying to the Lord and making a request of the Lord. Watch what he says. Verse 5. God, since you do take notice, bow your heavens. O Lord, come down, touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning, scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Send forth your hand from on high. Rescue me. Deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Here's what he's saying. God, I don't know why you take notice of me, but God, since you do, God, I'm asking to see your power. God, I'm asking you to display your power in my life. Look at how he describes God's power. Man, he's asking for the mountains, the heavens to come down to touch the mountains and make the mountains smoke. He's asking for lightning and arrows. He's asking for God's hand. That's a dramatic way of saying, God, I need. God, I need your power. I don't know why you love me or why you're interested in my life, but God, since you are, God, I need you. God, you have brought me here. God, you have given me these children to raise. God, you have given me this role, whatever the role is that you find yourself. God, you've made me this wonderful woman's wife. God, you've given me this job. God, you've put me in this family. God, you've dropped me in this neighborhood. God, you have given me these people to relate to minister to. God, you've put me here. Now, oh God, I've got to see your power. God, you have got to show up in a way that only you can do. Because God, I can't do it. I'm inadequate. Apostle Paul said, who is adequate for these things? Not one of us. God, I have got to see your power. Look at what he says. It's not just any broad general request for power, but it is a specific request for rescue. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouth speak deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. David is in a situation where he is surrounded by people who do not belong to the Lord. And they are lying to him and they are lying about him. Now, how much can you do when somebody lies about you? There's really not a whole lot you can do, can you? I mean, you can try to defend yourself. But this is kind of a he said, she said kind of deal. You cannot defend yourself against somebody who will not tell the truth. It's very difficult to defend yourself against somebody who will lie to you. If you're not being given the truth, how can you make good decisions? You know what? David is saying, God, I am surrounded by people who have the ability to absolutely destroy me. I am in a position where I am going to be ruined. God, if you do not step in. Let me tell you something about Chad Brady and about all of us sitting right here. We are in the same position as David. That if God does not step into our life and if God's power does not show up, then we've had it. We've had it. Because I will mess it up, and so will you. I'll blow this whole thing to pieces, naturally speaking. But God, I don't know why you take note of me. But God, since you do, oh God, I need to see your power. Do you guys see what's happening here? You have a man, and this is a man that the Lord, I mean, this is a man after God's own heart, but this is a man that is completely dependent on God for everything. He is completely dependent. If God did not show up in his life, he would be destroyed. That is exactly where God wants us. Now, in the last four verses of this psalm, let me show you what's happening. David has described what God has done. David has offered, man, it's a mystery that God even takes notice. David says, God, since you do, I'm asking for your power. Now watch as the Holy Spirit leads David to now pray for some specific things. And let me tell you what's happening here. The Holy Spirit is leading David to pray for what God will do when we are dependent on His power. When we seek the Lord and we seek His instruction and His guidance and we let God show us His power rather than doing it on our own, watch what God will do. Verse 12, let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Do you know the first thing that the Holy Spirit leads David, and by the way, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads David. If God's power shows up in your life, David, here's what you ask for. And it is our children. God, we are asking for your power. And when your power comes, here is what will happen. Our children, our boys, our young men, that they will be like mature plants, even in their youth. Do you know a mature plant? A mature plant is not susceptible to drought, to wind, to disease like a young plant is. I used to live, Alice and I lived in Southampton County, one of the most agricultural counties in the state of Virginia. The big cotton growing county. Do you know one of the practices in Southampton County, when you grow cotton, you can't just plant cotton as a seed in an open field and watch it come up. It won't work because a little cotton seed will sprout. It doesn't have leaves. It has cotyledons. And a cotyledon, as that wind blows across the field, it picks up sand, and the sand will rip the cotyledons off of the sprout. It'll kill that young plant, the wind. So you know what they do? They plant wheat, and they let the wheat get about this high, and then they plant the cotton seed. And once the cotton seed sprouts, by the way, all cotton is genetically engineered to withstand Roundup. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's a fact. Once that cotton seed sprouts, those little cotyledons push up through the dirt, then they come back and they spray the wheat with Roundup, kills the wheat. So you got wheat about this high, and you know what that does? Protects the young plants. Why? Because the young plants they're easily picked off. They're easily killed. They easily succumb to the circumstances around us. David says, oh God, I need your power. God, I need you to touch the mountains and smoke so that our young men will be like mature plants, even in their youth. God, I'm asking for our daughters. That even as young women, that they would be like corner pillars. Now you think about a corner pillar. What's a pillar? A pillar is an ornamental piece. It's beautiful. Carved. Decorative. It's beautiful. But the corner pillar is weight-bearing. Strong. God, I'm asking you to show up. God, we need your power. God, we need you to train our hands and to teach our fingers. And God, when you do, God, let our sons be like mature plants in their youth. God, let our daughters be like corner pillars. Oh, man. When you think about our children's ministry, this is what we've got to be praying for right here. Let's keep going. Verse 13, let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our field. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Now here's what's happening here. David is praying within the covenant of the kingdom that he was in. David is praying that God would bless them materially. We have no promise. Living in the church age, we do not have the physical blessings of a kingdom. We're waiting for the kingdom when Jesus returns, but we don't have the physical blessings now, but we have the spiritual blessings. We have the promise of spiritual fruit. David is asking that their labor would be fruitful. David is asking that as they till the land that God had given them, that he would bring fruit from it. David is saying, God, when you show up, God, with your power, God, you will make our labor fruitful. Jesus said, abide in me and let my word abide in you, and what will happen? Jesus said, you will bear fruit. He was not talking about wealth. He was talking about spiritual fruit. What's going to happen when we say, God, I need you to teach me. I need you to instruct me. God, it is you who's going to protect me. God, I need your power. And you know what happens? Then our labor yields fruit, spiritual fruit. Man, do we need that? Let's just talk about children's ministry. Man, do we need... Listen, we're about to start Vacation Bible School next week. And you know what? We need God to make our labor fruitful. Fruitful.
where children's hearts are drawn to Christ, where they look to Him and He saves them and He gives them His heart. And they grow into men and women who bring Him much glory as they follow Him. We need this. This is God's power.
Look at that last phrase in verse 14. Let there be no outcry in our streets, as a plea for peace. For peace among God's people. A generation who is mature, spiritually mature, even in their youth. Fruitful labor. Peace among God's people. That's God's power. That's what we need. Verse 15. How blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Listen. If the Lord is your God, if the Lord is your God, and His power is far beyond all that we ask or even think toward us. Our God is able. But we have to be dependent. This is not us. We have to seek Him. He has to instruct us. We're not going to figure this out on our own. He has to instruct us. We ask. We ask for His power. And here's what happens. Here's what happens with His power. A generation, young generation, mature even in their youth, fruitful labor, peace. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Listen, we're going to close here in just a second, but let me encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. We have no right to call the Lord our God, on our own. That relationship with Him as our God and Father comes only through Christ. But if he is yours, if you name the name of Christ, and we're going to celebrate here in just a second what He did, but if you name the name of Christ, then let me ask you, search your heart, because then, even then, is the Lord your God? Or are there other things that you are pursuing? Is the Lord your God? Or are there other things that you are trusting in to give you what you need? Maybe it is your own intellect, and you're like Jacob, who says, you know, I'll pray. If I run upon something I can't handle, then I'll ask the Lord for help. Wrong. Man, is there ever a second that you don't need God's power? No. But if there is, you're pretty confident in something else, then that's your God. Is the Lord your God? If He is, why He would take notice of us? Why in the world He would send His Son to die on a cross so that we might be adopted and be given the power to be called the children of God? Why He would do that, I don't know. But if He is, man, Hebrews says, since we have so great a high priest, let us draw near. We need to draw near. And we need to be dependent and seek His instruction. Let Him teach us. Ask for His power. And then look for it. Father God, I praise You that you are our God. God, we praise You for paying the price with the life of Your Son. We thank You for the empty tomb that gives us new life. God, I pray. God, we ask You for Your power. God, I ask You for boys and girls, our sons and daughters who are mature even in their youth. God, I ask You for boys and girls who never stray. God, who are never deceived by sin, but who grow strong. And whose lives display Your power.
God, we need you. We need you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus,